everybody. Welcome back to What Why Love Podcast. Today we have a special interview with Vida Ayala, one of the writers on Marvel's Jessica Jones, Playing with Fire. We get to talk about their work on the title and a lot more. So enjoy the show.
Hi, my name is Vida Ayala, and I write comic books for a living as well as some prose.
Awesome. And we're here today talking about Marvel's Jessica Jones. And my very first question has to be, what drew you to working on this project with such an I think very dynamic and intricate character like Jessica?
I love Jessica Jones. I love her character. I have for a very long time. I'm also super into crime fiction and noir fiction, and I'm sure that you know, into Marvel in general. And so the idea of, you know, before I wrote comics, I actually wrote prose, short stories specifically, but, prose. And so it was a really wonderful opportunity to work with a character I love, in a universe that I've come to really, really love, and on top of that, write prose again.
What is some of the difference between writing prose and writing for comic books? And to take it a step further, do you keep in mind having to write for something that will be narrated as well as read?
That's a very good question. So that's two very good questions. one of the major differences for me, besides format, when writing for comics versus writing prose is that the document that I am producing is not going to be seen by the final reader. It's literally like a conversation that I'm having with the person that has to interpret it into something that other people can take into their face. So it is a lot more casual for me. The challenge in front of writing for comics is that I'm trying to figure out a way to effectively communicate with my collaborator while also making it fun for them. I don't want them to just be like bored out of their mind while they read my writing. And so that kind of thing, and that changes from collaborator to collaborator. So like a script that I have for, you know, someone that I've never met before is going to be different than a script that I have for someone I know casually versus someone I've worked with before. Yeah. So, you know, I was writing, when I was writing Morbius, by the time, or Nebula, by the time I got to script 3 or 4, I was like, you know what I mean? Like, or I'd be like, here's the description, but go absolutely, like, go nuts. Like, yeah. Ignore it if you want. Here's the vibe. Whereas when I'm working with someone that's like a one-off or that I know perhaps like English isn't their first language, which happens a lot in licensed work, I will rein my feral kind of like instincts in and talk like a person. and then with writing prose, I have to be very conscious of the fact that no matter how many edits it goes through and it will be polished, blah, 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 like what I am writing is what will be read.
Yeah.
Like that's what will be given to the final, you know, the final person. Yeah. And so I have to really keep in mind I'm doing the work of not just giving information about a theme, but also setting the tone and atmosphere and kind of trying to figure out ways to immerse people. What does it taste like? What does it smell like? What is it, you know, all that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
Which to me is actually a little bit easier. it just is. But I love writing comics so much, so both are wonderful. And then, yeah, like, one of the things that I really did have to think about as I was, you know, working on my chapters of Jessica Jones was, this is going to not just be narrated, but there's going to be other sound elements to it.
Yeah.
How do I support that? Like, how do I incorporate things that will either, like, be a good cue to do something or, more often than not, support whatever that they do?
Yeah.
So, yeah.
And when it comes to the sound elements being added, from a writing perspective, does the writer's room get to choose those sound elements, or is that something that is done from a separate team?
That's all post stuff, but I would like to think that, you know, as they're going through, some of it is, you know, because of the things that we put into the prose. I know that they dropped like a little like snippet preview, I think.
Yes, it was very good.
It's so fun. I was so stoked about it. But there's like that ice cream like sound, and I was like, "Oh yeah, so good." And then when she punches it, like it starts to distort, and I was like, "These people are genius." So yeah, I would hope that like they are slightly inspired by what we have done, but also I mean, I will say about that team the same thing I say about artists when doing comics. That is what they do very well, and so I need to stay out of their way.
That makes sense. Moving into a little bit of a heavier topic that I have to talk about, because one of the reasons that Jessica Jones really hits me is because of how she handles trauma or doesn't handle trauma. It's really relatable. And when I read the synopsis for Marvel's Jessica Jones, it makes sure to say that she's finally taking self-care seriously. So I wanted to know what goes into writing a Jessica Jones that is actually thinking about herself.
I think what goes in, so, you know, I think that we've come to a point in society, question mark, where it's much more common for people to talk about things like therapy and, like, mental health and all that kind of stuff. Doesn't make it easier, doesn't mean that there isn't still kind of, like, difficulty involved in that, but I think having that more in the common parlance makes it a lot easier to then go, what does that look like for a character like Jessica? And so it's not like we're trying to force her into this box of this is how people deal with these issues and that's what they have to do, but it's much more like, okay, we have the language now. How would she react to these situations, and what does it mean for a character who's so closed off to open up and be a little bit vulnerable in that way?
Yeah. I'm just listening to you talk about that makes me very excited.
She's trying, I guess. Like,
and when it comes to kind of like getting into the nitty gritty of that, like, how did y'all, how do I explain it or ask the question? I apologize. How did y'all kind of hone in on how Jessica would treat herself? Did you all do research into different techniques? Did you maybe find some of y'all selves in you know, the writing room, like put some of them y'all selves into the work, or, you know, how was that grounded? Because I would think writing about, I mean, I have a hard time just writing a review of something and bringing up those elements. I can't imagine actually crafting a world of getting help as well, especially for a character like Jessica, who is pushed back on it fairly, you know, a lot. You know what I don't know if that makes sense.
No, it makes sense. It can definitely make the person working on the the person working on the project feel very vulnerable as well. I think that most, if not all of us that were in the room, had some experience with kind of like having dealt with some sort of like mental health thing. I think that's really just what it is to be human right now.
Yeah, that's not quite wrong.
And so, you know, I think that we did bring various parts of ourselves to it, whether or not we have experience with formal kind of mental health professionals or not. But also, I think part of it is research, both in kind of those options and then also research into the character, into, you know, into that stuff. I think that, like, it was a mix of being open to being vulnerable on the page and then doing due diligence to make sure that what we were saying made sense for the character.
And so I do have to ask, because when you look at the lineup of the Marvel titles coming to Cerebox, there are names like Black Panther and Black Widow and Thor. And then you have Jessica Jones, who I love, and I've loved her since Alias. But a lot of people outside of the Marvel Netflix show may not have too much of an understanding of her, and because she hasn't been on the big screen. So when they come into y'all's story, how do they have to have any background, or, you know, can they just jump right into it?
They can definitely, I think, jump right into it. I think we do a very, like, we were very conscious of two things. One, people would be coming because they recognize the name, and two, they might just stumble onto it and have zero experience, not even with the show. Like, you know what I mean? Like, no experience, none of the video games, none of the comics, nothing. And so we wanted to make it something that was approachable to someone, you know, just fresh off the street, but also meaningful to people who knew the character. And I think that part of that is acknowledging that we have to not explain certain things, but how do you say it? It's like to show certain things that other people might already know about.
Yeah.
So, like, you know, Jessica Jones has superpowers. We have to be more explicit about that. We can't take that for granted, but we don't have to spell out every little thing. And we actually are lucky in this series, and Jessica Jones stuff is lucky in general, because she's a noir character. It's a mystery, right? So yeah. You get to discover things, and so you can use that in order to feed information that people that might not have, you know, the experience.
Yeah. That's a really, I've never thought about that, I guess, as a reader. That's really, really interesting, and something that, kind of like digging more into it, like what elements of Jessica's, I don't want to say her past, but her history have you all dug into, but also like what elements have you really like made y'all's own for this project?
Oh, that's a really good question. How do I go into it without spoilers? We wanted to make sure that that people coming into the project, whether they had experience with the comics or anything else, they recognized the character. We had to get the core of the character right. And so that was really important. And I think that is, in this kind of project, that comes forward more in the way that she moves through the world.
Yeah.
Like, I don't think it's necessary to be like, remember X, Y, and Z and this thing and that. I don't think that's as necessary here. Partially because it's a mystery, and so you're kind of allowed a little more room. But we, you know, to prepare ourselves, we did research so that we could write from that place.
Yeah.
And then I think that, you know, we made it like, I think we definitely made it our own. Partially with, and this is something I feel like I'm really into in general, the location, like New York.
Yeah.
It's very New York-y, like not in a TV kind of way where like you're like, oh yeah, like this is an episode of Law and Order, but much more like this feels like people that lived in New York like worked on this book.
Yeah.
Or this story rather.
That's an amazing element, because I'm from Texas and from Central Texas, so whenever I see something about, like, Central Texas area or Austin, I'm like, I could tell you didn't live here, but when it hits it, and I know that somebody worked on a segment of something and is showcasing, like, that piece, it's chef's kiss. So good.
It's so nice to, like, I don't know, man, like, you know, I grew up in New York City, so, like, I always, like, I'm just used to people getting it wrong, but, like, it really gives me joy to be able to show what a character like that would be like if they were actually in the city, and the things that you have to deal with being in the city.
What are some of the things that you think New Yorkers are going to be able to are going to recognize right away, but maybe a reader who isn't from New York or hasn't been won't?
Subway. I did my best, you know, to be like, these lines go to these places and you have to do these things. But also just being, I mean, transportation is actually a really big one, because I can't tell you how many times you watch a show or a movie or read like something where people jump into their car to go to the store in Manhattan. I'm like, that's not true. You know? And especially when you have like a gumshoe character, to yeah. be able to have her actually like pounding pavement, I'm like, yes, that feels right. And the different neighborhoods, hopefully, the different places that she goes and the people she interacts with feel authentic to those places. Again, I can't go into spoilers, but yeah. like there are multiple locations, and we tried our best to make it feel like you were actually there.
That's awesome. On a more personal note, what's been your favorite thing on writing the character?
I love being in her head. She's just, you know, one of the things that I've always loved about Jessica Jones, and especially with the resurgence, but like, she was the kind of messy protagonist that you didn't see in women often.
Yeah.
Like, if they were this kind of messy, they were the villain, not the hero.
Yeah.
And so to be able to write, you know, write about her and from her perspective is a real joy for that reason, where it's just like, no, we can really, like, it's humanizing, but also, like, I get to play in that, you know, in that really messy, hard-boiled detective kind of mindset.
That's awesome. And kind of like, and this is more of a fan question, I loved your work on Xena.
Oh, thank you so much.
And
you're always so kind.
And I mean, because I've been a huge Xena fan my entire life. I have a picture of me when I was 8 in a Xena costume.
Oh my god!
One of the reasons why I loved it so much was the way you crafted the very intimate and personal relationship, not only between Xena and Gabrielle, but also Discord too. And so I was wondering if there were any relationships in Jessica Jones that, you know, that you can talk about, that you got to write or that you're really proud of or you're excited to have other people see.
I think one of the joys in this book as well was being able to show, even though Jessica is very prickly and very often closed off, there are relationships that she has that she values.
Yeah.
And show how she expresses that, which is not necessarily how I express my affection towards people. But, like, I can't name names, right, because you don't want to spoil. But there are a couple of different people where you go, I know that she cares about this person, and this is why she's doing this, or this is why she did that, or why she was a jerk, or why she was particularly kind. Like, and being able to show that those are valid ways for a character to express their relationships with people was really awesome.
I'm just more and more hyped as I talk to you. because we're already getting close to time here, on a last question, what do you want readers to take away from this version of Jessica Jones, or just the entire, you know, just Marvel's Jessica Jones overall?
I mean, I think I want them to, like, if they don't know who she is, to fall in love with her, you know, warts and all. I think that she is a character that is pretty singular. And I think that she's a new take on an old trope that I like. And I want other people to love her too. But I also, I want people to come away from this kind of realizing that there's no limit to how you can tell a story about a character. And that's just for the, in general, for the cereal box, like, Marvel books. Like, this is an incredible kind of new way to do it. So I want people to really fall in love with the format as much as the character.
Awesome. Well, thank you so much. This has been really great talking to you. I'm excited. I hope everybody listening is too. So why don't you tell everybody where they can kind of follow your work, what you have coming up, after Marvel's Jessica Jones and stuff like that.
I'm on Twitter way too much. it's just true. I say it all the time and it's true. My handle is at Definitely Vita. And, what do I have coming up? For those that read digital books, I co-wrote Ironheart 2020 with my best friend Danny Lore, and the first issue is dropped by digital, so please check that out. And then coming up, Livewire Volume 3 should be available to order to your house, or if you have a local comic shop that is offering COVID services, available through them. And then James Bond, I'm co-writing James Bond with Danny Lore as well, and that is continuing, so check those out.
Awesome. You're so busy and writing so many good stories. So thank you for being creative and doing things.
Well, thank you. Thank you for your support. You're always so kind to me. And it sounds silly, but that definitely, when I'm having a hard day, it makes a difference.
Aw, great. That makes me happy. I'll keep praising your work.
I appreciate you.